Sometimes I wonder just if we stop too soon. Amen. Well, I like and I appreciate what I feel. I thank the Lord for His wonderful presence. I'm thankful for you, the faithful, faithful people. Really, I mean that. I'm so thankful for you. Amen. Thank God for His precious word. For my Conneaut folks here, I hope you gave in the offering tonight. Because when I get done, you might wish you hadn't. Felt like you got cheated because I gave you a preview last night of what I want to preach tonight. I just didn't tell you. I feel this so strongly. And the Lord spoke to me today about a situation where an individual didn't listen to the words of the preacher. And a situation had arisen, where there was tremendous heartache because of those unwillingness to follow counsel. And so I say that to you tonight to say that I don't know if you believe me. You don't. It's no problem. But I'm just convinced that God is trying to prepare the church for the rapture. I am wholeheartedly, unashamedly convinced that God is trying to prepare the church for the rapture. I believe the day that we're living in now is preparation for the rapture. I believe the door is already open to the wedding feast. I believe guests are coming in and the Lord is waiting for the final guest to arrive. That's what I believe. Listen, you cannot want to believe that because you want to live your life, and I understand that, and that's all good, and no one knows when or what or how. But the fact is, you're not going to change anything. Not going to change one thing. And I don't say that to scare you. I say that to excite you. I just keep hearing the scripture as it was in the days of Noah. They were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage. And I look around me and people live just as if there's no God. And a lot of the church lives like there's no God. And one day, it's just going to happen. It's going to happen. And well, what a day that will be. You got one more song in you? I think we have got to stay focused on that day. We don't need to be scared. We don't need to be troubled. We need to be excited and with anticipation, waiting. Because one day that day is going to come. And when it does, the Bible says He's going to split those eastern skies. And He's going to come out of the skies with a shout. And everybody's going to see all the doubters, all the people that just want to have fun their whole life. And they're going to realize it's going to be like the centurion when Jesus was on the cross. And he said, surely this was the Son of God. I just feel that. Let's just sing that song. Hallelujah, Jesus. You need to feel it in your spirit. It's why we're living. It's the only reason. Everything that we're doing for that reason, for this day. What a day. Glorious day that will be.
One who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land.
Pause 1 second, just keep playing. Do you understand that everything that you have endured, every heartache, every mountain, every valley, it's all for that day, it's all for that moment? Do you understand every Friday night that you give up, every Sunday that you choose to be in the house of God? Do you understand every Bible study that you have attended, every prayer meeting, it's all for that day. It's all in preparation for that day. And what a day. What a day. What a day. The Bible says, eye has not seen, an ear has not heard, how great those things are that I go and prepare for you. And he said, if I left, he said, I'm going to come again. I'm going to come the same way I left. Look up. Look to the hills from whence cometh your help. But your help comes from the Lord. What a day. I don't know how we're going to feel. I don't know what we're going to know or what we're going to process, but I know that day is coming. And I know that God is preparing his bride. I know he is. I feel it in my spirit, in my heart. He's trying to prepare his bride. If you've got the Holy Ghost, and he should be saying to you, I'm coming for you. Just hold on a little bit longer. Just hang in a little bit longer. I'm coming for my bride. Hallelujah. Jesus.
Glorious day that will be.
I think you ought to sing it from the top of your lungs.
What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be.
Hallelujah.
What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be.
Distraction. Satan is the master of distraction. How does he do it? How will he deceive so many? Distraction. You got to be careful when you're distracted in church. And I'm going to just be really real just for a moment. Be careful when you're goo-gooing the baby in front of you, because you may be distracted long enough to miss a word from the Lord. If the word of God is as powerful as we say it is, then we should believe that every single word matters, and I need to grab a hold of it with all I've got. Distraction. We live in a day of distraction. We live in a day where people are distracted while they're driving on their phones. We've probably all done it to some degree. People dying because of distraction. People running off cliffs because of distraction. People crossing the line and hitting another vehicle head on because of distraction. Distraction. How does he do it? Distraction. Don't let yourself be distracted. Don't let yourself be distracted. The church is going to have to withdraw more and more from the world as we get closer to the coming of the Lord. I'm telling you, we're going to have to. I'm telling you. I hope you hear me. Praise God. Just sing it one more time and I'll move on. I feel the Holy Ghost.
What a day, glorious day that will be. And what a day. Jesus, I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day.
Why does God do it? Why does he allow his presence sometimes in his service to be so rich? What is he trying to accomplish? Is it possible that we miss sometimes what God is trying to do? We're just enjoying his presence, but we don't understand that he's trying to draw us closer to him, that God is trying to do something personal in our lives. He's trying to get our attention, trying to get our mind and our eyes off the things of the world. Praise God. Amen. Let me read to you a verse, Matthew 14 and 13. And if you are here from our Bible study last night in Conneaut, don't be discouraged. I've got some stuff I didn't share with you last night. I feel this so rich in my spirit. When Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, "This is a desert place. The time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals." But Jesus said unto them, "They need not depart. Give ye them to eat." And they say unto him, "We have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And he said, "Bring them hither to me." I want to preach to you just for a couple moments today on the topic, the withdrawal, the people, and the power. One more time, Lord, help us tonight, we pray. Let your word go forward. God, let it not return void. Let our ears be receptive. Let our hearts be open. God, let our minds be attentive. God, let us not be distracted so we can hear what the Lord has to say to the church. In Jesus' precious name we pray, amen. You can be seated. I read this text early in the week. It just kind of hit me. I've preached on this wise before, but I want to maybe just take you a little further today if we can. Because I feel like this is the season that our church is in. I feel like it's a very important and very critical season. And as we know, sometimes some seasons last longer than others. As we could tell, just a few nights ago, when it got down to 50 degrees already in the middle of July, this season's coming to a quick end. When Jesus heard of the death of John the Baptist, his next action was he got in a ship, and the Bible says he departed by that ship into a desert place apart. If there's one thing that we're missing, we're not perfecting. Some may be taking it seriously, others may not. Nobody backslides by choice. But everybody that backslides, backslides because of decisions. Whether that's a decision to continue in sin, whether that's a decision to ignore the word when it comes forth to you, whether that's a decision to be reckless with your life, it all happens because of decisions. God gave us every tool that we need to make it. He gave us everything that we need. He gave us the Holy Ghost. He gave us a church body. He gave us his preached word. There's power in the word of God. But sometimes we treat it like it's just another story. But there's power in the word. And so those sometimes that treat the word recklessly, those are the ones who you'll find their walk with God beginning to slowly wither away. Because when the tire hits the pavement, it's what we do with every moment that matters. Every moment requires a response. Every action requires a reaction. Everyone. And so if I'm going through a storm, what am I going to do in that storm? Am I going to cry and complain and bellyache to God? Or am I going to cry out to him? If I'm on a mountaintop and I'm trying to see what God is trying to do, am I going to just look at all the problems and all the obstacles? Or am I going to look at the promise? The list goes on. The Bible's full of it. If you really want to be honest, we could take the scripture and we could summarize it probably in a chapter. Because in some cases, the same story is being told 10 different times in 10 different ways, because God knows it takes sometimes a whole lot of different delivery methods in order to get our attention and to finally get us where God is trying to take us. You might hear a story about them crossing the Red Sea, and it might mean nothing to you. But then you hear the story about them spying out Canaan, and you hear of Caleb and Joshua and their faith, and that might encourage you. But really, when you summarize it, the Bible is really all the same thing. It's just told in a bunch of different ways in order to try and appeal to the so many different personalities that we have to deal with. I was trying to explain to somebody the other day. I said, if you are going to give a motivational conference and you're going to speak, and you're speaking just about motivation, everybody that shows up is there for one reason. They're there to be motivated or learn how to be better motivators. If you're going to give a conference and you're going to speak to a couple hundred people about how to be the best salesman you can be, everybody's there for the exact same reason, how to be the best salesman I can be. But when you come into church and you're going to speak to the crowd, nobody's here for the same reason. Everybody's got a different purpose. Everybody's at a different stage in their walk with God. Some are fighting wars. Some are on mountaintops and they're enjoying the blessings of God. Some are entering into new journeys of their life. Some are just enjoying what God has done, and some are just at the bottom of their barrel. And so how is it that God speaks to all? Well, that's the power of the Word of God. It's not limited. Every sermon is for everybody. That's why you should never sit there and say, well, I've heard this one before. No, you might have heard the scripture before, but you didn't hear the delivery before. You didn't hear what it is, where it's going to minister to your life today before, because God's word does not return. And the way that happens, God opens us up. We get here and you feel everything. You see everything. You know spirits. And God begins to deal with all of those varying different situations, because God is able. God doesn't miss a moment. He doesn't miss an opportunity. But let's be real. A good sermon alone sometimes doesn't get you out of your mess. It's not always meant to. It's meant to maybe give some direction, not just get you out. We always want the quick fix. We want the easy way out. We want it the way we want it, right away, my way. And I know that's a funny catchphrase, but it's a reality. And it has affected the church in ways that we're not willing to acknowledge or be honest about. And so when God, and I've heard it once, I've heard it 1,000 times, I've had people say, well, how long, Pastor? I've been waiting. Well, who cares how long? You trust God or you don't? Are you just looking for an, end? Are you looking to see where God's taking you in all of this? Are you trying to see what God is doing in all of this? Maybe you're in your wilderness. Just wait. God's going to show you Canaan, but then you're going to have to, with faith, walk into that city and let God be the victor in it. Amen. It's not always just fun and games. It's a journey. We know that. But sometimes in that journey, things get overwhelming. And Jesus receives this horrible news that he wasn't caught off guard by it. But it still was a reality check, even to the Lord himself, that John the Baptist had been killed. And his response, I think, is so powerful. We don't see any words. He's not asking for people for prayers and good thoughts and good vibes. That's essential, generation. You know what he did? He gets into a ship. And the Bible said he departed into a desert place. The first thing I want to talk to you about tonight is the importance of your withdrawal. Now hear me, because this is going to go over like a lead brick for some people. We're a busy world. We pride ourselves in being busy. We brag about how many hours we work this week like it's some badge of honor. I worked 100 hours this week, and that's my response too. What does that mean? Because we live for accomplishment, we live for recognition, we live for possessions. And so the world, if you consider your life right now, if you consider your day, just for a moment. I'll tell you about my day. I couldn't keep track of the calls and the text messages. I had 3 appointments this morning. By the time answering messages throughout those appointments, it was something to 20, 30 in a period of a couple hours. I had voicemails, I had text messages, and literally there are days, and I'm telling you all this for a reason. I don't want you to feel sorry for me. Don't go saying, look at them. See, do you want someone to feel sorry for them? I don't care about your sorry. I don't care. I'm not telling you not to call me. I'm just telling you about my day. And so sometimes they literally, as fast as I respond to text messages, they come in. That, I mean, literally, I'll sit there an hour sometimes. I have 5, respond, there's another one, send it, respond, and you got to take a break and do something else because at some point you got to eat, got to go to the bathroom. Remember what Brother Shelton said years ago? Sometimes a man of God just got gas. Anybody remember that comment? Speaking of, we do have a special visitor coming Sunday. I'm not going to tell you who. They're not going to preach, but they are going to take some time and share about some very personal things at the pulpit. So I think you want to be here for it. That's all you get. So with all this busyness of life, I want you to think about it. Think about how consumed our minds are. Work, phone calls, text messages, messaging. I know I'm a broken record because it's our life. Buzz, 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 vibrate, vibrate, buzz, buzz, ring, ring, notification, notification, respond here, respond there. You're trying to sell something. You're trying to buy things. You're trying to do this. You're trying to do that. You're trying to eat. You're trying to take care of the kids. You're trying to feed the dog. You're trying to feed the cat. You're trying to kill the squirrel that's running in your, that's getting in your house. You're trying to mow the grass. You're trying to go on vacation. You're trying to get ready for this. Listen, we have run ourselves into the ground. And you know what we don't have time for anymore? Jesus. When we get overwhelmed, we get frustrated, we get upset, we start to ask God why, we start to question, when in reality, all throughout the scripture, Jesus taught us what you do when you're overwhelmed. You withdraw. I feel this so strong, and I'm going to put a challenge to you today. I'm going to try and be very specific to help you. Me and Brother TJ, we had coffee the other day, and I had a couple appointments before, so I thought I was coming back into Jefferson. I got 45 minutes, so I go home, or should I? I thought, I'll just go sit at the coffee shop and do some work, and so I did. And man, once I sat down, it's just like a light switch. I'm like, emails, they're shooting out, and some of you, you know, barely responding to me and all that stuff. And, you know, and finally he walks in. I'm like, hang on, phone's ringing. I'm making a call. And I got into a groove. It was good to remove myself. I don't get down to the coffee shop enough. Part of the example. That's just another story. We met in Jefferson. But my point is, I forget all the time that sometimes when you just withdraw, your mind is clearer. Sometimes you got to withdraw from home. You got to withdraw from responsibilities. You got to withdraw from people. I'm in my office today. I just start to pray, right? And I hear, bam, 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 bam. Bam, 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 bam. There's the kids. They want candy. Bam, 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 bam. Don't get mad at those kids. I'm all right with it. If I'm all right with it, then you have to be all right with it. I went and, man, you know, they come like trick-or-treating, you know? So I throw some out the door. I shut the door. I go back in. Here it is, just another couple of moments. Bam, 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 bam. So, you see, there's very little escape that we have. You're not escaping. Some of you that, you know, I don't know. Let me just try and stay on topic. My point is, what do you do when you're overwhelmed? What do? You get mad at God? You blame God? I'm going to challenge you before the day's over to teach yourself to withdraw. You might withdraw to your backyard, grab a chair, sit under the tree, and just go sit there. And listen, withdrawing, and now this is the hard part. And some of you kids, you upset me and you frustrate me because you're not even going to listen to me one bit on this. Put your stupid phone away. Withdrawing is not having your phone in your hand. When Jesus withdrew to a desert place, that means nothing went with him and nobody went with him. Now in Mark writes a little differently. He says, and Jesus said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. So we know that he also encouraged them to withdraw, but not with him. They had to withdraw into their own desert place. Why? Because this was a monumental moment. It no doubt had rattled them. The kingdom of God was suffering violence. And the men of God were being beheaded for a little whore. It rattled them, but Jesus, he withdrew. So I'm telling you, you've got to take regular time. You got to withdraw. Listen, you're always going to be busy. I found that out. It doesn't matter. I almost feel ashamed of myself from now on when I'm talking to somebody and I say, well, you know, hopefully the next couple of days will be a little slower. And then as I'm talking, I'm saying, you know, you've said that 1,000 times, you nincompoop. It's life. Life's not going to slow down. You have to learn to withdraw. Hear me, please. I'm begging you tonight to hear me. I am telling you, God will transform your relationship because when you withdraw, I mean from your husband, from your wife, from the dog, from your gerbil, from your phone, from your tablet, everything. And everybody's got to find a place. I asked them last night, I said, what do you do when you're, well, I pray or I ask God. That's not always enough. Jesus didn't just pray, he withdrew. There's a very telling story there. He was showing us how. So if you withdraw into your prayer room and you shut the door, if you have one, and you probably should if you can. Again, withdraw into your back. If you've got woods, go out there in your woods and walk around. Withdraw. Leave it all behind. I know we talk about this all the time, but we're not perfecting it, and God is trying to get our attention and tell us how to survive until he shows up. Withdraw. You have to teach yourself to withdraw. Go out, walk, go on a bike ride, go on a ride. And just sometimes my wife and I will get in the car and we'll just drive aimlessly. Want to go for a ride? Yeah. We have no plans. We just turn down streets. You might wind up here. You might wind up there. Who knows where you're going to wind up? And we'll just drive. We don't know when we're coming back. We're just going to drive. We're just going to withdraw from everybody for a little bit. You know, why do you think God speaks to you in your sleep? Why do you think God speaks to you in the shower? Why do you think God speaks to you on the lawnmower? Why do you think God speaks to you in some of those places? Because those places, you're focused on one thing. I mean, I hope you don't take your phone in the shower with you. If you do, you're probably an idiot. I'm just going to say it. I love you, but you're probably an idiot. You got a serious problem if you can't even get in the shower without your phone. It's waterproof. I hope you drop it. I hope it cracks, and I hope water pours in the crack. But then I know some of you kids, your mom will be running right to the store to get you another one. Oh, my God. I got it. Her phone broke. Oh, God, have mercy. What are we going to do with that? I'm not trying to sound like a meanie. I'm gonna belabor this issue before I move on. We have to teach ourselves to find a place to withdraw. You know why this is so important? Because 50% of the people, and I'm actually being generous, I think that's a good number. 50% of the people here today will not do anything different when they leave this place today. My wife and I were talking the other day, and I said, that's the problem. Sometimes you'll get up and we'll preach, God will move, and people will leave, and they won't change one thing in their life. Somebody called me this week, and they said, I talked to so-and-so. Man, they said they're really discouraged. You're really defeated. They're really going through it. I said, I don't feel sorry because they keep going back to the same stuff. They don't make any changes in their life. You can preach. You can tell them, just come to the altar. They don't come. They give the lamest, dumbest excuses in the world why you can't be there. I don't feel sorry because you don't change anything. The Word of God is supposed to change us. It doesn't grab me and shake me and say, change, change. He's the only guy here I know won't hit me. That's why I grabbed Kenny. No, you know what the Word of God does? It says, I got a few suggestions for you. You've been praying. You're going through it. You're frustrated. Here's some suggestions. This silly little simple message tonight will change your life if you will listen to it. How many of you got woods behind your house? If I were you and I don't have them, I'd withdraw into the woods. That's what I'd do. I'd go out there and just sit, listen to the birds chirp, and tell God to speak to you, because nature is God's design. You got a pond, you got a lake, you got close to Lake Erie. I know Pastor Klein, I know you go down there. I don't know if your wife goes, or you're like, no, I don't want her with me either. I don't know. I know you go down there all the time and sit. I envy you. I wish I was that close. I'd do it too. Find, listen, this is your homework. Find a place to withdraw from everybody, including, find a place to withdraw. When you are overwhelmed, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. That's a metaphor. Nobody here has ever went and climbed a mountain when your heart was, no, it's God, take me into a place where I can commune with you, where I can have relationship with you. When you withdraw, listen to me, the only way we make it is with the relationship that we have with the Lord. The reason so many people don't make it or they fall apart is because they don't have a relationship, or the relationship with the Lord is suffering. Jesus withdrew. Let me read just a couple others really quick. I shortened them up. You don't keep up because I don't even have the verses. Mark 1 says, in the morning he departed into a solitary place and there prayed. Mark 6 says, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. Luke 9 says he took them and he went aside privately into a desert place. Luke 4 says, and when it was day, he departed and went into a desert place. Repetitive, constant. Luke 5, and he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. John 6, he departed again into a mountain, himself alone. Matthew 4, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. He went up the Holy Ghost led him there, and there was some things that were happening, and that's where the enemy attacked him. He tried to get into his place of withdrawal, his secret place, and that's where he tried to attack him. But the Lord was stronger, even though he wasn't eating anything. Luke 9:28, he took Peter, John, and James and went up into a mountain to pray. That was the Mount of Transfiguration. And we know about Moses. He always went up into the mountain. He was up there for 40 days when Israel decided to become idolaters. Sometimes that place of withdrawal, because they didn't learn how to withdraw the way Moses did, they became idolaters while he's getting the law of the Lord. He's getting the word of God to live by. He's supposed to pass it on down to him. They fell off the wagon. David's entire ministry, most of it was withdrawing. David was formed in the caves. His attitude, his spirit, his disposition was all being developed because he withdrew. And so I'm pleading with you. I am pleading with you. You don't have to be some spiritual giant. You just got to know when to take a step back and withdraw. The worst thing we do is we act like life cannot go on without us. Listen, I told my wife the other day, I said, honey, we're always going to be behind. Get used to it. Take a break. Life's not going to let up. Life's not going to get easier. You just got to get used to it. Get used to it. Don't let life rob you of that time, because that's where we receive strength. That's where we receive encouragement, nourishment. That's where God speaks to us, when we learn to take time and opportunity to withdraw. Now, the interesting thing about Jesus' withdrawal is it was coupled with the people, with ministry. So there was a very unique balance there. The Bible says when he withdrew and he went forth, and there he saw a great multitude of people. Let me back up to my first verse. It says the people heard, when the people had heard thereof that he had withdrawn, they followed him on foot out of the city. So in my view, if he got into a boat and they followed him on foot, he was paddling down the river and they're following him. I mean, you know how annoying that would be? You're trying to withdraw and there they are, and you're looking out on the over on the edge, and they're there, and you're like, oh my God, I can't get away from these people. I felt that way. But what did he do? He still took time to feed them. He ministered to them. So we have to have a balance between withdrawing and ministry. One cannot be forsaken over the other, and that works both ways. It can't be all people and no withdrawal. And it can't be all withdrawal and no people. There is no permanent vacation. That's not reality. We have a mission. We have a job. We have a commission. And God is trying to teach us how to stay spiritually strong and how to stay spiritually nourished. There's got to be withdrawal. But in that, there's going to have to be ministry as well. It's those two things, I believe, must be our priority. And I'm asking you to get it in your spirit, withdraw and ministry. I went to a new, I decided to go have him check my leg out today. This new doctor moved in the area. And we got talking, and of course he asked me what I did, and I told him. And I have an appointment to go back. And when I go back, I'm telling him I would like to do a Bible study with him and his wife. She's going to throw it out there. She's like that. Pow. Let me do it. He said he worked with someone years ago, and they were a Pentecostal doctor, I believe he said, or something like that. And he said he told them all about it. He thought it was neat. So I thought, when I go back, I said, I'm going back, and I'm ready. I'm going to tell them, let's do a Bible study. I'll come to your place, and we're going to do a Bible study. Why am I saying that? Because as much as I need to withdraw, we got to continue to stay focused on ministry. You know what's happening to our world? You know what's happening to the church? The church is becoming overwhelmed. We're not withdrawing. We're not being enriched by the Lord. We're not being nurtured by God. We're trying to plow through it, and we're not doing any ministry. We're becoming overwhelmed. We're becoming overburdened, overloaded, and we're not doing ministry. I'm not saying at all, but I'm just saying we got to get serious about this stuff. We got to get serious. The Lord's coming for his church. Let's not celebrate if I'm not trying to get somebody on board with me. And so I thought it was neat that there was a balance there between his withdrawal and still ministering to the people. And then when you read on down, we read it. And when it was evening, his disciples came and said, "This is a desert place. This is your sabbatical, Jesus. This is where you came to withdraw." They came to him, so they weren't, in my opinion, they weren't not right there beside him. Even if they were in the same vicinity, they had withdrawn separately, and they came to him and they said, "Hey, this is a desert place, and it's getting late. Send these people away." But Jesus, even in his withdrawal, he said, "No." He said, "We're going to have to feed them." He said, "They don't need to depart. Give them something to eat." And they said, "We don't have anything. We're not prepared. We came here to get away." And what did the Lord say? "Don't worry about that. I got you covered." He said, "Just tell me what you've got. Listen to me. Hear me if you would. Stop trying to be the champion of Bible quizzing. Stop trying to have all the answers. Stop pretending like I'm feeling intimidated. Give God what you have. That's all we have to do, is give him what we have. Give somebody what you have. Give them your level of knowledge. That's all you need. And Jesus said, "Listen, I know we're not prepared. I know we came out here for a little getaway, for a little rest, but I understand that. But listen," he said, "just what do you got?" "Well, we just got some fish and some bread." "No problem. We'll feed them." Easy as that. Now watch. Am I boring you? So watch this. When you put all this together, let's just look at how easy life and ministry is. When you get overwhelmed, withdraw. Don't forget about ministry. Don't forget about your responsibilities. You might not have everything that you need. You might come across somebody and you're like, "Dang, I left my miniature Bible chart at home. I wish I had it." I would be, "Who cares? Give them what you got." It's just that easy, but we're making it hard. And we are allowing this crazy, crazy, insane world to wear us out until we're not doing anything in our effectiveness for the kingdom of God. We act like we have nothing to offer. We act like we can't reach people. I'm done. I'm telling you, I'm going to everybody I get my hands on. I don't care if they say no. I don't care if they kick me out. I'm getting hold of everybody I get my hands on. And when I need to withdraw, I'm going to withdraw. Mark 16:15. You want to play? Because that won't be a lot longer. Am I making any sense at all? You know, as much as I love church, going to church doesn't replace your time of withdrawal. It doesn't replace it. Here, we're with the body, important, vital, thank God for it. You people encourage me all the time, all the time, all the time. Some of you make my life miserable, but I still love you. I'm just kidding, it's not miserable. But I don't get here what I get when I have that just alone, quiet time. I won't forget when we went to Hocking Hills for our vacation. There was a big tree. It's a big, huge backyard. The house is right on the lake, and it was pretty. And there's this huge, massive weeping tree. I'll bet you it spanned 3/4 of the sanctuary. And I would go out there in the morning, and I'd grab a chair, and I threw it under there, and I just sat down and brought my Bible with me. And I'm just telling you, Brother Klein, I no sooner would sit down, and the Holy Ghost just starts speaking to me. And I'm like, "God, can you slow down? I came to, like, pray and talk a little bit. I didn't come to and just speak." And then that was that year, man. We're hiking, and I'm walking through the woods, and the Lord's just speaking. And, you know, we're trying to hike and have some family time, and I'm looking over here, and the Lord's giving me, scripture. I see this tree growing around a rock, and the Lord says, "Upon this rock will I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And the list just goes on and on and on and on and on. Why? Because when you learn when you learn the value of withdrawing, you know, God hasn't talked to me in forever. When's the last time you withdrew? He can't. We're too busy. We're too busy. We're too busy. We're too tired. It's the truth. We have to admit it. So Mark 16 and 15. So here's the commandment. Go into all the world. Preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. You know all this. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. Now, verse 18 is one I want to focus on just for a minute. A couple things I read this past week. Tyson Foods, they just signed. Now, I'm going to get back where I started talking about these last days. I don't know when, but they signed a contract with Bill Gates and with his new bioengineered meat company. And so anybody that, you know, McDonald's and KFC are two of the big ones. And they're going to be, if they're not already, I don't know, selling this bioengineered meat. Pass. I'm out. And then there was another company. I should have pulled it up for you really quick. They're doing bioengineered dairy. Some of the rumors for years has been those mRNA vaccines that they're putting in foods now. And then after the bioengineered dairy and the companies that are utilizing that, then I read this article. They're just like, and you know, I'm not a conspiracy theorist. My brother, I hope you don't listen to this. He's whack job. He believes everything he reads on the internet. I love him, man. He believes everything. He sends me. I'm like, God, come on. It's cartoon. It's not real. But this stuff is real. It's been happening for a long time. These genetically altered ticks, the Lone Star ticks. This is all because some of the higher ups feel that meat consumption in this world is on the same level as global warming. Well, it probably is. Neither one of them are relevant, but in their world, it's the end of the world. And so they begin these. So their plan, if you haven't heard this, this starts back in 2010. Was to genetically modify these ticks. And what's happening, in your regular news reports, you're going to see this. People are becoming allergic to red meat. They're becoming allergic to it. The amount of cases of people that have been hospitalized for an allergic reaction to red meat is skyrocketing. Hundreds of a percentage. So all of this junk, and so my wife and I were talking about this, and I'm sharing the good news with her, as I always do. The good news, the gloom and doom of the world. The world's falling apart. Everything's bioengineered. We're all going to wind up with cancer. We're all going to die at a young age. And she says, well, there's no hope. What do we do? Well, how do you even combat this? And I just felt like the Lord brought this scripture to me. If they take up any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. No matter what the world decides to do, listen, when we stay close to Him, when we have our relationship and it becomes our priority and we keep the kingdom first, which is scripture, God will take care of all the garbage that this world, all the junk, every bit of filth and all the trash they're pumping into the system and they're pumping into the food chain and all the pesticide garbage has probably caused half the sicknesses and diseases. But I believe, you say, what about those that have died? It's their time. It's not the problem. But I felt like the Lord brought this scripture to me. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them, and they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. And so if we keep those two principles, the withdrawal and the people, I believe that God gives us the power. And I believe He gives us the power to tread on serpents. And I believe He gives us the power to reach this generation. And I believe He gives us the power to lay hands on people, and they shall recover. I believe God gives us the power to be a witness in ways we never thought we could, because I believe that the world is ready for this. They're ready for it. They're ready. But we have got to be right with Him. We've got to have our relationship. Come on. We cannot just be churchgoers. We have got to have a relationship with the Lord that is above everything and anything else. That's why the first commandment is to put the God first. Love Him more than anything and anybody. anybody. And I know I've talked this, but I'm done. I'm finishing. Moses, time has went, but it's not because I preached long. It's because we sang a long time. It's Brother Tyler's fault. I just, but you know, Moses and the Lord, I'm not giving you any revelations here. I'm just reminding you. Told him to take off his shoes. I don't pray with my shoes on anymore. I don't care if you think I'm a weird or wacko. It doesn't matter whether I'm in here or I'm in my office. Because, you know, again, I know I told you this, but you know, when someone comes into your house, have you ever made this statement? Take off your shoes and stay a while. Raise your hand if you've ever made that statement. You know what you're saying to them? You know, when you have your shoes on, you're always ready to go. Always ready to go. But so when God called Moses into his desert place, when he found him and the bush is burning, he said, take off your shoes and stay a while. Don't bring all that mess in with you. But there's a mental game to that. There's a mental aspect to it. I really believe this. Now, just hear me for a second. When I take off my shoes, I feel like my whole mindset to prayer and to that time changes. I feel like I'm planning on staying a while. We can't discount these little things. I'm not telling you got to take your shoes off to pray, but I also did learn that the earth is filled with electricity. Now, when you want to go back to the Bible, I'm trying to stop here. But when you go back to the Bible, God didn't make Adam and Eve. They had no shoes. They had no hair ties. They had no hair dye. They had no necklaces. They had no earrings. They had no clothes. They had no style they had to worry about. They had nothing. Nothing. That's how God made them. And when I read, Brother Kenny, that there's electricity in the earth, and your body has a certain amount of electricity in it as well. And when I read that people are sicker and they have more problems because we believe in shoes, and I'm not telling you to walk around bare feet. I've had some weird experiences with that stuff too. But I'm saying we have worked ourselves right out of God's creation. He made us the way he did for a reason. The design was perfect, and it was far beyond our imagination and our understanding. So when I go to pray now, I take my shoes off no matter where I'm at. And I don't know, is there a connection? I mean, they have grounding. Anybody here with grounding sheets? You buy them and you plug them in. It's supposed to replace the electricity in your body that you're not getting because we wear shoes and our feet are always covered and protected. Maybe that's why kids run around with their feet all dirty and filthy and they're always happy and having a great time. And we're all, hide your shoes on now. And they're just having a great time, you know. They're feeling the presence of the Lord coming through the earth. All I'm saying is we have to work on our relationship. So I'm asking you to do two things. Number one, I'm asking you before you go home and your head hits the pillow, find a place where you can withdraw. Find it, designate it, whatever it is. If you're at home and you say, I'm going to go out in the backyard, then tell your spouse, I'm going out in the yard. Can you just leave me alone for a while? That's all I'm asking. And then, you know, you can't be like, oh, what's wrong? Did I do something? Not about you. And then number two, don't forget your purpose. The kingdom. Don't forget the people. It's God's will that we are ministering and reaching our world. And number three, when we do these things, it may sound like a stretch, but I believe that's when God empowers the church. I believe that's how God empowers the church. So the next time you find yourself depressed, don't post it on Facebook. Withdraw. The next time you find yourself discouraged, don't post it on Facebook. Withdraw. The next time you find yourself overwhelmed, find that rock and withdraw. I promise you, I feel in the Holy Ghost so strongly that God is trying to enrich the relationship of the people in this church with the Lord and to take it to a level that you've not known, or maybe you've forgotten, or maybe you've neglected, because life just has a way of taking over. Life just takes over. Thank you, Brother Jerome. And I'm done with this. I know I've shared this with you too. I say that so you don't get bored right off the cuff. But I realize that everything around us in our world has to be maintained. If you don't mow the grass, weeds grow. Period. It's not rocket science. You got to mow the grass. If you do nothing to your home for 40 years, it's going to start falling in. And have you ever seen a building that has been obviously abandoned years ago, and there's weeds and there's grass and there's trees growing inside of it? You know why? Nature always takes over. God designed nature, and nature will. So what do you have to maintain? Your nature, which is a sinner, will always take over if you don't maintain your walk with God and your relationship. Those are the places where we get closer to Him, and we kill that flesh when we withdraw. Jesus was a man. I've heard people ask me over the years, could Jesus have sinned? Absolutely. If He could not have sinned, then the whole point of Christ in flesh, God in flesh, the whole point of it was a moot issue. There was no point of Him being tempted when He was up in the mountaintop. There was no point. But he taught us how to be overcomers of temptation. How did He do it? He was withdrawn. Stand with me, because I'll probably just keep rambling. You know, sometimes when we come to church, when we put our schedules aside, that is a form of withdrawing. That's why it's so important not to let your schedule determine your church attendance. Because sometimes you put all that stuff aside and you say, now what we do is when we get really over, I got to go to church, man. I got to get to church. But you don't always want to let it get to that point. Withdraw. How many of you here have already determined you found a place that you're going to withdraw to? Good. For those of you that haven't, you need to find it. You farmers can be out in your barn with the cows. I'm not joking. I'm serious. Go out there and withdraw with the pigs. Especially if you're a prodigal. I'm just kidding. Can we close our eyes? Can we pray? The question is this. What is God trying to do? How important is this to our walk with God? Is God trying to sustain us until He comes? Is there something here that really matters that's going to be the difference maker? Father, I love You. I praise You. I honor You, Jesus. I thank You for Your word. God, I thank You for Your lessons. I thank You for Your examples. I thank You that You did not leave us handicapped. You didn't leave us stranded. God, teach us not to run to the bar, or not to run to a cigarette, or not to run out of our house away from our spouse. Teach us to learn to withdraw in a controlled, in a constructive manner. God, where we make the decision, I'm going to go have some Jesus time. Teach us, God, we got to learn to shut our schedules down. Our schedules are controlling us. They're controlling us, Lord. We got to learn. You got to help us. Lord, You got to help us. If nobody else here needs Your help, I need Your help. I need Your help in this area, God. My schedule just takes over. It just takes over. Lord, I want to withdraw. I want to hear from heaven. I want to be back in touch with You. I don't want the craziness of life to take me over and drown me out. I don't want nature to take over. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Halabarodorobaya taya bayarabo.
Wrap me in Your arms. 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 It's wrap me in Your arms.
Pastor Tyler, just sing softly, but keep singing. Here they are. I still got them. Anxiety. 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 This is the church. It's not the world. Fear, anxiety, stress, worry, hopelessness. My God, folks, this is the church. Failure. This is the church. Less combative. Pride. Disease. Anger. Alcohol. It's the church. We are the ones. Impatience. We're the ones that have to withdraw. We have to withdraw. We have to withdraw. Some people just have their whole names up here. Just their names. Family. More strength. Withdraw. That's where this stuff's going to change. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Who loves me? Who wraps me in His arms? And that is the place. and wrap me in your arms. Wrap me in your arms. Wrap me in your arms. And wrap me in your arms. Wrap me in your arms. Wrap me in your arms.
I want to say one more thing, but I want you to keep your eyes closed. Just hear me, though. Repetitive. Israel sins. Moses takes a tabernacle outside the tent of Israel. That's church. They went out there to try and repent it, fix it. We need God. We need the church. But that wasn't enough for Moses at that time. He needed some answers. He said, God, I know the problem. The problem is our sinful nature. Most of us, we know we got problems, but we're not getting the answers. And so Moses said, show me your glory. That's the answers. That's where the revelation came. That's where prophecy came. That's where God begins to show Moses things he had never seen before. But he had to withdraw in order to get to that level and that stage. We go to church. We know the problem. We come to the altar. We repent. Preach to me, Pastor. I need someone stepping on my toes today. But sometimes we never get the answers because we're not willing to take the time to withdraw into that desert place where the Lord himself now can become your voice and he can share with us what he needs to say. Let's sing it, if we could, one more time, or however long you feel led to go.
Wrap me in your arms. is the place where I am chained, and that's where I belong. And take me to that place, Lord, to that secret place where I can be with you. You can make me like you. Wrap me in your arms. Wrap me in your arms. Wrap me in your arms. Oh, take me and take me to that place, Lord, to that secret place where I can be with you. You can make me like you. Wrap me in your arms. Wrap me in your arms. Wrap me in your arms.
There's a lot of people still praying, so we don't want to interrupt them. If you're done, we're going to put some music on. Some people up here might want to pray. Let's leave this altar. If you go to talk, please go out in the foyer, please.